Are you struggling to relax and switch off from the hyperactivity of everyday life? Then take a quick dip with me, Suzanne Duckett, health and beauty journalist and author of my new book, Bathe, as we rediscover the oldest art of relaxation. Some fascinating famous faces join us and take the plunge into my wonderful, watery world of well-being. Over 6 episodes, we'll be exploring health-boosting, stress-reducing and transformational treatments at London's top spas, bathing in heat, mud, cold water and even immersive sound therapy, while my guests bear all and share their helpful strategies for overcoming modern physical and mental challenges to help us chase away the blues. And we promise you won't be left behind. In this show, you will experience each treatment side by side with us as we share the benefits, secrets and sounds of bathing in various forms, gasping, squealing and laughing along the way, though you don't have to wear the paper pants to listen, unless, of course, you really want to. This week, Liz Earle, doyenne of wellbeing and natural beauty entrepreneur, joins me for a bioenergy mud bathing ritual at the Lanesborough Club and Spa. It's going to be a contemporary take on an ancient Middle Eastern ritual that's supposed to leave us relaxed and purified using warm, cleansing, mineral-rich muds that we'll be slathering on ourselves, maybe even each other, in a small, hot and steamy black mosaic-tiled room. I can't wait for Liz's take on this intimate experience, plus what other health and beauty advice that she swears by.
I started my TV work on this morning with Richard and Judy, and that's just had its 30th anniversary.
Really?
So I was already established writing about health and beauty 30 years ago. And I think my purpose is possibly as a communicator. And I love it now, coming back into publishing after so long. It's such an exciting time with everybody being into wellness and well-being. But it's a very easy bandwagon to jump onto. And I think the benefit that I have perhaps is, you know, 35 plus years of doing it and talking, you know, like you being an old hand and that trusted voice.
So I've just come up from the underground at Hyde Park, subterranean, back up onto the hustle bustle of London. And my goodness me, look at all these fancy cars. Ferraris, Bentleys, Audis, Range Rovers, a lot of what looks like chauffeurs zooming in and out. I'm going to the Lanesborough Club and Spa. Look at that very nice placard, all in gold. Very swish. This is going to be fairly opulent, I can tell already. Oh look, there's a buzzer here. Place card. No, I'm not a member, so I'm going to buzz. This is all, it's a bit like going into James Bond's private oasis. Hope they let me in. Hello, it's Suzanne. Okay, so it's cream and gold and lit very, very beautifully. I feel like I've walked into a sort of combination of a jewellery box and a humidor for cigars. It's all panelled wood. Just beautiful. Hello.
Hi.
I'm Suzanne.
Welcome to the Lanesborough Club.
Thank you very much. I'm here for my ritual.
Yes.
I'm going to be joined by a good friend, Liz. So are you ready for us?
Yes, of course.
Wonderful.
It's
wonderful.
First time for
oh, hello.
Hello.
Oh,
so nice to see you.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. Is your phone working? Because mine's
phone,
been off all day.
No,
it's a nightmare.
It has been, I hate to admit this, but it has been really stressful.
Yeah, really stressful.
I didn't think I was so reliant on technology.
No. I mean, Wi-Fi, phone, and all the cabs have gone home.
I thought it was me until about 2 hours ago, and it's everything.
Same. So it's good that we're going to chill.
It's so good
that
we're going to chill.
Chill.
I know. I mean, these places are all about disconnecting, aren't they? But when it's been
when it's enforced.
You, yes, exactly.
It's fine
exactly.
If you can plan it. Planned disconnection is good.
I didn't think you got stress, Liz, ever.
Well, you know, I mean,
I was. You're immune by
who
now.
Is it? Joe Fairley once described me as liquid Valium, which I hope is a compliment,
yes.
And not that I just as I'm incredibly boring, which is the other
definitely
way of looking
not.
At it.
Definitely not.
No, I am generally quite calm. So.
Yeah. Well, it's gonna be 45-minute treatment.
Fabulous.
You can wear the disposable underwear and disposable bra and the shower cap.
Oh, okay, fine. That's good.
You can't. Yeah.
Oh no no no! I think, well, at least it's not being videoed. But I did bring a swimsuit, so that's.
No, it's up to you. How are you feeling more comfortable?
Okay. Oh, is that disposable bra? Is it?
I'm gonna take for you.
And underwear. Oh, well, I could try. Could try modelling it, I suppose. Not for social media.
You're gonna have face cleanser, face toner, if you like to remove your makeup.
I haven't got any on, so.
Oh, you look gorgeous.
Oh, thank you so much.
So you're going to have rose face mask to apply on your face. Mm-hmm. The Malayan sauce scrub if you like to exfoliate your skin before the mud. And you have the green mud for the body.
That's the Rasul.
It's the mud. The Rasul is the private steam.
Ah.
So basically, it's a self-application of the mud. While you're applying the mud on, you can help each other to apply the mud, for example, on her back, or I can do it for you.
That's good.
If you feel more comfortable, I can apply on your back.
Okay.
Does that smell like mud on your farm, by the way?
No, it smells a lot better.
So while you're having the mud on, I will suggest you to apply a thin layer of the mud and go and have a sit inside a private steam.
Okay.
So while you have the mud, you can enjoy the steam at the same time. So
nice.
Of course, they will be open, so you can absorb everything from the natural ingredients from the mud. And you can enjoy for about 20-30 minutes inside the Rasul.
Yeah.
I will suggest you to refresh your body with the cold water inside the Rasul for your blood pressure.
Is it like a plunge pool? Or?
Yes.
Oh, we've got to hose each other down, have we? Gosh.
Now it's going to be warm.
Oh wow, look at that, it's all steamy and gorgeous.
You can refresh yourself with a cold.
Oh, I see,
the
and there's a...
It's
very aromatic, isn't it?
You can have a seat on top of the tower.
It's beautifully designed.
Yes.
I love all that little copper tiling. It's really
dark,
pretty. Yeah, it's really... And because we come in from a really cold day, this is just so warm and nurturing.
Can't wait.
Okay, let's go and strip off then.
Kit off.
Yeah, go on then. I'm going to try this.
It's
pants
and a bra.
But what I really like about it is quite sort of 1940s.
I know.
They're like little bloomers.
Yes, they are.
And you actually look quite slim in them because they're so baggy.
Yeah.
That actually it makes them, it's like a sort of ruched little bandeau top.
Yeah.
And Well, it's not going on Instagram.
No, it certainly is not. Something's a sink.
If you have makeup on, I would suggest first...
Remove your makeup. Well, I have, but I've just got mascara. That's great. I just get rid of the London grime. I just, there's people I know that never leave the house without makeup. I find that really, yeah, I mean, I wear it for shoots and, you know, TV and stuff, but other than that, well, funnily enough, I tend to wear more makeup in the summer because I use it as a sunscreen.
Yes. That makes sense.
So I like that sort of
mineral. Well, not even on the farm. Do you wear makeup?
No. I mean, I might, you know, if I'm feeling really adventurous, I might wear a bit of mascara.
Yeah.
I really feel like a kind of town mouse and a country mouse because, you know, all my black clothes stay with me in my studios in London. You know, black doesn't really work in the country.
No, different persona, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, everything's sort of brown and green. Now, what's this? Is this
a toner?
Do you put that
on
the
top of this card?
Oh, thank you.
Just
Tone. Lovely, it smells. It's like rose water. Oh, gorgeous. I love rose water. Oh,
okay.
Feeling better already. I'm oblivious to the fact that I'm standing here in paper pants.
You have the service bell here, just to show you, when you're pressing the service bell,
yes,
it's going to ring this one, so I'm going to take this one with me.
Smart therapist on call.
That's good. And what will you bring us?
Emergency call, I'm coming.
Emergency, as in, bring me another apricot. That's a sort of spa emergencies at one house, isn't it?
Yeah. Love
Amazing.
That. Great.
Right.
So what now?
This?
So okay, let's go. Are we going in?
Right, we're going in.
Right.
I love the fact that you're so game for this, Liz.
Well, I love this fact that you can come and do this as a twosome.
Well, it's we're saying it's a bit different from just should we go out for dinner. Should we go and resort?
Yeah, completely. And you know, you could come with a girlfriend. You could come with your mum.
I don't think on a first date though, do you?
I just don't think it's a boy thing. Maybe I'm wrong.
No,
but, I
agree.
But it's not a sexy thing at all. It's not romantic.
No. What am I doing with this now, Ketty? What am I doing with the scrub? Am I taking that in there? I kind of want to put that on in the steam.
Yes.
And look, we've got a little spatula thing. Is that for the scrub?
Yes, you can apply with a spatula or with your fingers, with your hands. It's up to you.
Okay.
I'm feeling more comfortable.
All right.
And going in. Ooh.
Lovely and warm. Quite echoey. So nice and warm. You're going to do the scrub? I'm going to pop this. So the scrub goes on dry skin. Oh, it's quite stiff.
Because there is argan oil inside.
Argan,
so what is
it? Argan and?
The Himalayan salt scrub and essential oil.
Nice.
If you like to exfoliate your arms or your legs or your feet,
mm.
we're going to leave your privacy now, okay? I'm coming back just in 20-30 minutes to let you know, okay? Thank you so much. Enjoy your treatment.
Yeah. My skin is feeling amazing actually.
Oh, that combination of heat, steam,
mm-hmm.
and product, and naturals, and muds, and salts. And you must be all used to mud though, living on a farm, or living half on a farm, aren't you? This is
a. Well, it's a different kind of mud. I wish this old mud was as valuable as this mud.
I'm sure you could dig deep though, Liz, and find some amazing.
We've got the best soil.
Yeah.
I do look after my microbiome of my soil, you know, because we're grass fed. So we plant lots of deep rooted herbs and lucerne and herbal lays and all the things that you hear about on the Arches. That's what we've got going
wonderful.
On.
So,
you
do get mud under your fingernails.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Check the quality of the soil, make sure we've got. Plenty of the right, you know, worms and all the other
worms are so important.
Yeah, really. Yeah, they break it all up, and they just the whole just of biodynamics of wormery. I mean, you can keep a wormery, so and they make this sort of amazing juice that you can use. Even in cities, you can have a little mini wormery on your balcony or in a small garden.
Don't drink the juice.
No. You put it on
plants. Is that the next kale? Kale style on it. It's now worm juice.
Worm juice. Can you imagine? That'd be very good.
You want to feel like you've got a weekend in the country? You can drink some nice brown worm juice.
They make this fantastic sort of sludgy stuff that you can spray onto plants, or it's like a fertilizer. You can rich your soil with it.
Wow.
It's unbelievably eco and good for.
Just being there
too.
Must be like a spa treatment as well, isn't it? Just being in that sort of...
Yeah, it can be. I mean, in the winter, it can be sort of muddy and cold and...
And that's when you go to Africa.
Well, yeah, that's when I tend to go. So I've just got a few projects I've got to do now in the heat.
Yes.
But, I mean, I like both, actually. I think what being in Africa teaches me, because we're on the equator in Kenya, is that doesn't really have seasons.
Yes.
So we're so fortunate here, we take it for granted, the fact that we have a spring, summer, autumn, winter, you know, the leaves do change colour once a year, but it does get crisp
and good,
cold.
Right?
Yeah, and that's when you review your beauty routine, review your the supplements that you might be taking, what you're doing diet-wise, you know, lots of sort of warm, nourishing, nurturing things in the winter,
and it's
fresher in
the
summer.
I agree, and one of the chapters in Bathe was about seasonal bathing, that you don't just have to have a hot bath in the winter with wintry type oils. If you're feeling a bit blue, there's grapefruit oil in the bath or something citrusy to bring some summer into your life via the bathtub. And we just don't realise that we can really self-medicate in a way like that, our beauty and our wellness.
Yeah, there's so much, you know, I think the Europeans have got it so well, haven't they? They really acknowledge a lot of these naturopathic principles that we've just sort of lost, or maybe we were never connected with as much, I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's coming back.
It's so easy, and it's so easy and cheap, that's the nice thing. You know, you don't have to come to a fancy spa, you can...
Yes.
You've got a
science and nature. Always been there, hasn't it, for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think people sort of label me as, you know, sort of only natural beauty and plants, but, you know, when you think about it, that plants are the root of so much in medicine, you know, even if we look at salicylic acid and willow with, you know, aspirin, or digitalis from foxgloves, or Taxol from yew. You know, that's the root of so much. You know, HRT from wild yams. That's where it's all come from. So
not horses' wee anymore.
No, not horses' wee. It was, and you know, and very effective it was
and
too.
And nuns' wee originally, wasn't it?
Was it nuns' wee? Why? Because they were supposed to be virgins.
Pure virgins, untouched.
But it has to be. You have to be pregnant to get the estrogen, don't you?
Well, I know it's all very weird, but I mean, even horses weird. I mean,
because the pregnant mares.
Although one of the Viva Maya, one of the Maya clinics, one of the very well-known doctors there said to me, actually, you'd be better to have the horses wee in your HRT.
But not now.
Because it's closer to, I mean, it's no. so well, many, this is the thing with no, wellness, it's so but, much but conflict, this is, isn't
yeah,
it? This,
but now it's body identical. So if you looked at it molecularly.
Yes.
So now, of course, you can take your natural ingredient, like a wild yam, which is, you know, a plant, and you can isolate all its individual chemical components, and you can take the bit that's totally body identical. So the estradiol 17, which is the same one that we make in our bodies. I can't believe that that's the same as the one that comes from a pregnant horse.
No, no.
So
I think I know what I'd rather have. I'd have the
yeah,
yam,
I'll go
thank plant you.
Based,
pass
please.
Me the yam, yeah.
My skin does right. feel just so soft.
Yeah.
I can't stop
absolutely.
Stroking it.
Absolutely, I know, I've been massaging. So you've enjoyed it.
Oh, very
you've
much.
Enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, I loved it. And love here, I think Lanesborough have done it beautifully.
Mm,
it's really special place.
Incredibly spoiling, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very.
Which is...
For an indulgent treat. You know, if you wanted to bring a really part. Special... friend or your mum or you know, I could imagine, you know, bride and her maid of honour or something, you know, lovely.
You'd never forget
that.
It, would you?
No, beautiful.
Do you do many things like this? Or
no, well,
not,
oh, I haven't. Oh, nice. Hello.
Oh, look, I mean, you are the queen of wellness.
Well,
and,
thank you. I share the title
You started your career as a writer, didn't you, on a magazine?
I did, so that's
that
30-something.
Yeah.
Well, it must be a lot more than 30 years ago, because I started my TV work on This Morning with Richard and Judy, and that's just had its 30th anniversary.
Really?
So I was already established writing about health and beauty 30 years ago, so it must be, you know, 35, 36 years ago.
Really?
Obviously, as a very small child,
yes, of course. You didn't go to school, really, did you? You just went straight to work.
From nursery straight into writing
yeah,
beauty books.
Yeah. Well, you look... Blimmin' marvellous on it. What's the secret,
oh,
other than having an amazing brand that you formulated as well along the way?
Well, what is the secret? I think everything in balance. You know, I used to be super extreme. I look back on my early days and I was a teetotal vegan macrobiotic.
Well, it's
so
gone full
kind
circle.
Of been there.
That's what it is now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it was not for me, and I don't think that kind of extreme way of living is
when were
the
you
best
so
necessarily.
Extreme? Because I remember, I think we got to know each other when you were a little bit more glass of wine here. And
oh
there.
Yeah, completely.
Yes.
Well, that would have been in my very early 20s. So
really,
you know, 30,
is that
35
about
years ago?
Because I think people that are genuinely interested in wellness, whether you're a journalist or a broadcaster or author or secretary or builder or, you know, real people, normal everyday people, they. People do go through extreme phases, don't they, if you like wellness? And do you think
yes,
that's
I think,
is that
well,
control,
I was very questioning.
Or?
So for me, it was a sort of a journey of education and learning. And I'm a great believer in that if you are going to write about something, you need to do it.
Agreed, yeah.
And it's like now, you know, being an organic grass-fed farmer, I, you know, I write a lot about the provenance of food and sustainability and regenerative farming and those kind of things. And you know, I've been a supporter of the Soil Association and Sustainable Food Trust and all those great organisations, you know, for decades in some cases. And there's a very great difference between just talking about it and actually doing it, you know,
and
walking the
it.
Walk and living it, breathing it every day. And I'm much more plugged into now rural regeneration and the issues facing especially small British farming families.
Yes.
And the much bigger picture and the complexities of it. So it's very easy to kind of helicopter above something and comment.
Totally.
And many
totally,
people do.
Totally.
And so for me, I try to be as authentic as possible and actually kind of take a deep dive into it. And I guess I'm very fortunate that, you know, I'm in a position now when I can with my life.
And do you get slightly misunderstood? Because I know for me, when I, and like you, I've done the extreme things, and in this pursuit of happiness and health, thank you, because I thought, well, if it's really extreme, the results will be better, you'll feel healthier and happier quicker. And again, I was interested in trying different things to see what worked for me and all the rest of it. But even now, when I am, like you, more balanced and moderate about what I do, people sometimes think I'm a little precious if I say, well, you know, I get a delivery from a farm in Devon and
yeah.
I like to go to the farmer's market and get organic food. And, well, no, it's okay, I don't eat meat if I'm out at restaurants because I'm not really sure where they've got it from.
Sure,
and,
absolutely.
You
right.
know, I meditate and all. And people are a bit, oh, God, you know, almost that.
But,
but I just want to live a natural, healthy life.
Yeah,
it's
but it is about balance. I mean, some
thing,
people, you know, you know, are surprised and, you know, I'll meet them for a drink and, you know, have a nice glass of wine and I say, oh, gosh, you know, let's have a drink and a glass of wine. And I say, well, yes, obviously, but, you know, I'm careful about what I choose.
Yes.
And I would rather eat and drink less, better quality. Yes. So my food bill and drink bill stays the same.
Mm. Yes.
And I think, you know, in terms of meat, for example, I think we do need to eat a little bit of meat, but I think it needs to have great provenance, it needs to be grass-fed, sustainably produced, high levels of welfare, etc., all of which we have in the UK. And so that we're getting our absorbable iron, we're having dairy products for our iodine, we're having D3, we're having all those micro and macronutrients that we need that are not impossible to get plant-based, but very difficult, particularly for young girls on budgets, students, for example, who need to be thinking about their long-term mental health and fertility and all of these things. So, if you're going to go into it definitely with your eyes open.
Mm.
So I would rather have, small amounts of very expensive, by comparison, food, like a proper organic chicken.
Yes.
Once or twice a month,
yes,
rather than a cheap chicken wrap grabbed,
absolutely,
off the shelf and eaten without any thought or consciousness,
no,
on a daily basis, because that's just, intensive junk, and it's junk for you, it's junk for your body, it's not right for the planet or for animal welfare either.
And the planet is an interesting one, because it's such a ecologist and environmentalist and all of that side that you really know your onions.
Homegrown onions.
Yeah, the two camps are vegan, plant-based will make you live longer and healthier and we won't get lots of horrible diseases. But then there's the other side of the fence.
Mm.
No, we need the kind of iron that you get. There's certain irons that you can only get from, liver or meat.
I think you can do both, and I think it comes down to on a philosophical level often, and people will argue the ethics, etc.
It might trigger it. What do you think about the issue with meat on the planet? And how much pollution?
We have to change hugely the way that animals are reared. I think you've got to look at it on different levels. Here in the UK, for example, over 80% of our farmland is grazing. So you need to have animals to graze it, otherwise the countryside, will be devitalised. And you need grazing animals because they fertilise the soil, they capture carbon, they improve the microbiome, just like we have a microbiome full of beneficial microbes and bacteria and viruses and fungi and all the things that can be good for us, the good ones. So the soil does as well. So we need to look at soil health and soil fertility. And that comes from being fertilised by livestock. And that's why grazing animals are so important. From a land management point of view, we need to have animals. And you need ruminant animals that eat grass. So if you look at methane production, for example, we shouldn't be feeding cows hard feed because then they produce much more methane. The reason that they chew the cud so often is because that's what they're designed to do.
So
and
they
that produces
wouldn't be as
much
gassy.
Exactly, much less methane. So,
okay.
And then if you look at the health aspects, I know that plant-based eaters will often say, well, meat will cause cancer, etc. The problem with those studies is they lump all meat together.
Mm.
So I do not eat processed pork. Processed pork products full of nitrates,
yes,
the salamis, if you're into that kind of thing, the processed hams, the sausages,
sausage
rolls.
Even the sort of traditional Italian delis.
Find it really hard.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to love things like mortadella, but it's like thin spam, basically. You just can't go
it's
there.
So
I mean, every occasionally.
It.
I mean, you might want it kind of once a year or whatever, but
yes,
it should really come with a health warning. So if you take that out of the meat-eating statistics, and if you then say, well, actually, I'm just going to have a piece of grass-fed, organic, plain steak, which is full of omega-3s because it has a totally different fat structure. It hasn't been messed around with and processed. So I think, we're not really talking like for like. So it would be interesting to have those studies done. Perhaps one day they will be done.
I think it's going to continue, though, the either or, because it's just this ongoing debate about what you should do. And I think that's where the wellness world can be incredibly confusing. And from you being in this industry for a long time and really see some changes, how do you think it's different now to what it was 30 years ago, or is
well,
it not?
In some ways it's stayed the same. I reread a book I wrote for the BBC 25 years ago called Eat Yourself Beautiful, and that was all about beauty from within. And I looked it up and I was talking a lot about cabbage, dark cabbage. I was basically writing about
kale. Not the cabbage soup diet, was it around
no,
that?
No, 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 it
yeah.
wasn't, it wasn't, but it was similar. I mean, it was talking about the benefits of dark leafy cabbage, which of course we now know is kale.
Yeah.
So, it's just that by a different name. So you know, things like that haven't changed. And actually what I was saying about fat, I'm a great believer in having good quality fats. So all the nuts and seeds, etc., which is really so important for us and for their capacity to build healthy hormones, we need good fat. So the last thing you should do in your midlife is go on a low-fat diet. You know, you need lots of great fats. A very interesting study is actually shortly coming out looking at the role of extra virgin olive oil and the role of that with gut health. And that has some very interesting tannins.
And we know the Mediterranean
affected.
Diet is really the one that universally
that's the one for
is
longevity.
Agreed for. Yeah, yeah.
And we're still not entirely clear, you know, is it the polyphenols, is it the lycopene in tomatoes and red peppers, or you know, is it the amount of olive oil that they're eating?
Yeah, and also is it the communal eating together as
totally.
A family? Because, you know,
community,
it's
yeah.
all about that. Nothing's ever, I mean, people say to me, you know, what should I be doing now? It's, well, what nine things should you be maybe doing now? So what would you say are your other health non-negotiables? So it's,
well, for me, so eating as mindfully in the fullest sense as possible, so thoughtful eating, not trying not to grab something quickly on the run, but actually make a conscious decision, look at what you're eating, look at what's on your plate, look at what's in the shopping basket and say, do I really want to put this into my body?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, you know, you can have your dark chocolate, you can have your, you know, bottles of red wine and all the rest of it. I'm not being prescriptive and saying don't have things, but just think about it, make a conscious decision for, you know, whichever way you want to go, be conscious about it. I would say, you know, it's an old chestnut, but we've just got to drink lots more water.
I'm terrible at that.
You know, being dehydrated.
Herbal tea, though, I could drink
herbal
gallons.
Herbal tea is great.
But it's
well,
just
I'm not
yeah.
crazy about herbal tea. I'd actually rather drink water.
And
even hot water
me.
I quite like.
Yeah, no, I do now as well. But it bugs me when people put loads of ice in their drinks because that's
like
not
ice.
Good for us, is it?
No, I haven't seen any clinical studies on
really?
That.
Because the Ayurvedic doctors would say it brings, you know, the Chinese doctors would say it really...
Does it lower your body heat?
Lowers the blood, so you're not digesting. You don't go into a digestion.
Well, I could imagine that. I could imagine that.
Because you want that lovely warm environment to digest food.
Yeah.
So what else are your go-tos?
I really am very protective over my sleep these days. You know, it's an absolute non-negotiable. And I have a sleep app that I use which monitors sleep. And
really?
I just make sure that I really try and get 7.5 hours every night.
Yes.
And if I know that I've got a very late night or I'm travelling, I try and balance it with a slightly later start.
Right.
But that 7.5 hours actually goes across the week, so they say that too much sleep is as dangerous as too little.
Yes, I've read that recently.
So
yes.
even, so I now have to resist the weekend lie-in.
Yes. Well, also that makes me feel like I've got weekend jet lag. I feel groggy.
Yeah.
And they
you're
do say as well it's the continuity,
up at the same time.
Isn't it? Every
yeah,
day.
Same time every
yes.
morning,
yes.
weekend or not. So I now do get up at the same time on a Saturday and a Sunday, but then I'll potter and
yes.
you know, stay in my dressing gown, you know, make a cup of black tea, go back to bed with that, and
yeah.
then
be up but rested.
Be up but rested and in my bed environment.
And otherwise it does become a bit every day is a get up and do something day. And
yeah.
I think the lie-in is just permission to just not do anything.
Yeah, just to veg a bit, read the papers, do. I'm a great believer in reading print, you know, obviously having a magazine. I
me
love
too.
Print. So getting off a screen and yep. the weekend is the time, perhaps, you know, with the Saturday and Sunday supplements that you can.
Which gets me on to how, with 5 children, do you ever find, you know, you can have an army of help, but you've still, no one's in your head taking away those worries or those concerns
oh, yeah,
or
mother,
those anxieties.
You know, you never
so
stop worrying.
The mother's load. But how do you balance that out?
You know, I think it's a lot to do with the ages of my children. If I had 5 children under 10, I'd, you know, be a shivering wreck. But it's not like that. So I'm very fortunate. I've got 2 in their 20s. My eldest is 28. So, you know, she's definitely, you know, as I remind her, nearly a grown up.
Yes,
and
most
then
certainly, actually, Liz, I hate to tell you.
She's wise, she's so wise, tells me so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have 2 teenagers, older teens,
mm-hmm.
so 16 and 18. So, you know, different stage of life, exam pressures, you know, uni applications, all that kind of thing. And then 1 little one who's 8.
Now, I remember meeting you when you were expecting.
Which one?
The 8-year-old.
Right.
That's your littlest one,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And you said to me, yeah, you thought you'd gone into menopause because
yeah,
your period stopped
yeah.
and you were up the duff.
I know, I couldn't believe it. And well, partly I blame my doctors. not entirely, obviously, but but I'd had hormone tests about a year before and they said, oh, you know, your hormones are declining, you know, you can expect to see some changes, you know, you're definitely not gonna get pregnant, blah de blah. So I still didn't entirely believe them, but I did take my eye off the ball, as
obviously.
It were.
Obviously.
And so therefore I did not immediately, even though I was the mother of four children at that time, think, oh my goodness, you know, I recognise these symptoms.
No.
I just thought, oh, well, you know, my hormones are obviously playing up and, you know, that's why. And
so how many weeks pregnant were you when you found out
I was actually
pregnant?
I think I was about 17, 18 weeks.
Stop.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously?
Seriously. Well, because what happens is, and, you know, a lot of
people... I thought you were going to say 7 weeks or something, but that's...
No, because what happens is when an egg is fertilised, it then has to embed itself into the side of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you can get a bleed.
Mini bleed. So, okay.
And a lot of women will mistake
bleeding.
That.
Yes.
Implantation,
yes.
Exactly. And that happens, I think, around 4 weeks, something
right.
like that. So that's 4 weeks gone.
Right.
So you just think, well, that was just a mini period,
yeah.
You know. And then it was actually around the time that Kim and I were selling the beauty company,
mm-hmm.
back in 2009. And we were spending a lot of time on transatlantic flights, going off to the States all the time.
Kilter.
So you think, yep, you lose track where you are. You think, well, obviously, you know, jet lag, you know, plays havoc with your cycle. So, and then having been told that, you know, my hormones were declining. So, you know, it was really, you know, sort of 14, 15 weeks on, I began to think, hold on a minute.
Should I check this out?
I actually think I ought to go back and have a look at my diary. So then I did
a
pregnancy
test. This middle-aged spread is maybe a little bit happening
well,
a bit fast.
No, luckily, though, you know,
you
nothing really
showing.
Shows,
no.
Not really.
No.
But then again, you know, you do get, you know, kind of midlife.
Not part of the fifth.
Top.
You'd think, oh, I've done this a few times before. Pop, out I am. But no. So
no.
Did you get the shock of your life?
It was quite, well, I did a pregnancy test and it was, the little blue line was quite fuzzy. And I just thought, well, maybe that's because my hormones are bit up the creek. Maybe that's just making them fuzzy.
Yeah.
So I did another one, and it was still a bit fuzzy. And I rang my gynae, who I'd seen, you know, years before, and he said, "Well, it's obviously most unlikely, you know. But you know, if you are pregnant, you know, how pregnant do you think you will be?" I thought, "Well, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks, maybe." So he said, "Well, you know, if you've done inconclusive tests, you should come in for a scan." So that's what I did. And I said to my husband that, you know, don't get your hopes up, because he's always, you know, wanted, I mean, he'd have had 10 children,
yes.
I think, you know,
yeah.
had his way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think I might be, but, you know, obviously I'm very elderly and I've not been looking
elderly.
After myself.
What, 40
but, you know,
yeah.
I've been, you know, doing nothing, not taking folic acid, not
yes.
taking any supplements,
all
living
the things
on
that
black
a pregnant
coffee,
woman gets very neurotic about.
Super
yeah.
stressed.
Yes. On a lot of planes,
yeah,
trying
yeah,
to sell a business.
crazy. So, and then he did the scan, and you know, there was this little person kind of waving at us. So apparently, I went absolutely sheet white.
Wow!
You know, and it was a, you know, extraordinary moment. So yeah, unexpected blessing.
Yes, there we go. And 8 years on.
8 years on, he's, you
and
know,
all the others
reliving
all
it.
The others are looking after. So,
but so you know, come back to your earlier point. You know, how is it? Actually, I don't really, I mean, I do physically have 5 children, but 2 live away from home, 2 are very much, you know, independently minded, leaving home.
Yes.
You know, they'll be off at uni very soon and very busy with their own lives and activities, you know, after school clubs and all of that kind of thing. And that just leaves the 8-year-old.
Who's never allowed to leave home ever.
No, he will be with me forever.
The empty nest syndrome will
actually
be
he's
horrific.
Such a monkey, he's going to be pushed out the soonest, I should think. He's the sharpest pencil of all of them, and that, you know, and of all of them, he has had the least health issues. He's possibly the brightest. I do hope the others are not listening to this, but you know, they will agree
obviously.
That
yes.
you know, he is very switched on. And
well, he's got all of them around him as well, though.
Yes,
so.
But you think I didn't nurture him in the same way in the womb? You know, I didn't give him that early start. And I remember talking to my gynae saying, you know, because I was nearly 48 when I had him. You know, what is the risk? And he looked me up on the charts, and I remember then he went quite quiet and. He said, actually, you have no risk. And I said, oh, well, that's marvellous. How come I don't have any risk? And he said, well, you're so old. The charts don't go up that far. Because the charts actually stop at the age of 46.
Oh, no, but isn't that a bit ignorant, though? Because there's women in Africa and, you know, more
yeah,
than anyone
and,
spending
you know,
time out there, but
yeah.
that are just having babies
I think
in the
we
bush
can
and not
be,
really, you know, we're so precious
we can
and
get
neurotic.
To, and that actually is a very interesting question about risk.
Mm.
And this is why I think, you know, think headlines in tabloids like the Daily Mail can be so irresponsible because you read something and it says, oh, such and such is, you know, double the risk if you do this. And you think, gosh, double the risk. I'm twice as likely for that to happen. No. What it means is if your risk was 1 in 100,000 and they then reevaluate the risk, so it's 2 in 100,000, still microscopically small. the headline can still say technically double the risk.
But that's, because it that's is. Wrong, though, isn't
but it's completely really? Irrelevant. Yeah. To. So you've really got, you know, I'd never believe those headlines that say we are more at risk because of this latest study. You have to go back and read the study and say, how statistically significant is this and the bearing on it for
and
my
life? And not take it on, because I think that fear is incredibly, almost like self-fulfilling in some respects. It's,
yeah.
If you think that's what's going to happen, then the chances are you're going to bring it. You know, I'm really, are you a big believer in the mind over matter about health and
I think
wellness?
I definitely you think believe yourself in, well? I think it's probably quite likely that you can. I do believe in the power of intention.
Mm.
And that if you have an intention to do something, or you're with a therapist who has an intention to help you, that can be part of the process. But I talk to a lot of medics and scientists, and of course they would just kind of roll their eyes if you talk about things like that.
But it's a shame.
But there
isn't
is another dimension, isn't there? And you must see that.
I really think that there is. I've seen too many things that I used to be quite suggestible, and then I went through a phase of being very cynical, and I'm back somewhere in that. Wow, that happened.
And
so
energy.
Many case studies.
I'm interested with energy work and how that works around us. And, you know, I'm not totally into auras and chakras and things, but there is definitely an element of that. And it's like I'm taken to doing lots of sort of tapping and cupping and things on my body first thing in the morning. And you can look at it at different levels. You can say on an energetic level, I'm stimulating my chakras and going through the whole sort of, you know, meridian lines and talking about chi and energy. Or you can say, I'm bringing fresh blood supplies to the lymphatic system and stimulating my thymus and giving my liver a boost by tapping over it and that kind of thing. So you can look at it on a mechanical level or on a spiritual level, but you're actually doing the same thing.
Mm. Although those purists would say, well, it's a different system. Isn't it? The energy system is a very different system to the lymph system or the cardiovascular system.
Yes, but a lot of your energy points and your reflex spots are the same.
Found in
the
same
meridian
places.
Lines and key acupressure points and acupuncture points are very often the same.
But then this goes to faith, doesn't it? This goes to faith. What's
faith
one's
healing.
Faith? Well, I think faith generally, having faith in something, I think is a big part of life. And I wonder if that's maybe missing.
Yeah,
with
but
community,
we're all believing
with
in it. Yeah, I mean, certainly when I was working for This Morning last year and we went and looked at various blue zones.
Yes, they're
where,
incredible, aren't they?
Yeah, and these are areas of all around the world where pockets of populations have been identified as living a much
super
longer
old.
Time.
Mm.
So
and
they're
well
all sort of hundreds
with their
and
age.
Well, exactly. Mm, that's the difference. Mm. They have very low rates of dementia, very low rates of cancer. And one of the tenets of that is having a faith.
Yes.
They found they were very much in faith-based
now,
communities.
Because there's an area in California, isn't
that's
there?
That's the Seventh-day Adventists.
Yes, they're fascinating. But they spend so much time together, don't they?
They all live together and they have a strong sense of doing good.
Yes.
So there's a real sense of purpose. I think that's really important, that you know you need to have purpose in your life. And there are lots of books being written about it. The purpose-driven life is, you know, is a really good, you know, example of that. And I think whoever you are, you know, you can see it with long-term third-generation unemployed, for example, where the purpose has been taken away from them.
Mm.
And I have a charity, and we do a lot of work in disadvantaged communities. And even just getting people in to volunteer. There was a family where the women, they were third generation unemployed, and they had no example in the family of anybody ever being in work. They had no role models, and they lived in a tower block, and they, you know, ate fast food. They didn't cook, you know, nothing. They just lived sitting watching Jeremy Kyle on TV.
Existed, I mean, is that living?
Existing,
yeah.
Not
yes,
living.
Yes.
So they were given a chance to work, or one the woman was given a chance to work in a charity shop, and she said, "Well, what can I do? I can't do anything." And they said, well, just hang clothes on hangers. That's all you need to do. You don't need to worry about the till or anything else. Just hang clothes on hangers. And she did that. And she did it for a week. And she went home at the end of the week. And for the first time ever, she cooked a meal for her family.
Really?
You know, so it is getting that sense of purpose. And then her daughter came to work with her. And then the family is regenerated. Even though you're not, you know, in paid employment, you're doing something with a purpose.
And so simple.
Yeah, really
because
simple.
We do overcomplicate it, don't we?
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, which is very tricky. What's really interesting then about that, looking at purpose through the eyes of other people? What's your purpose now? Where are you going?
Oh gosh, I mean, life is such a journey, isn't it? I just feel so fortunate to be doing something that I am passionate about, and you know, I really, it gets me out of bed in the morning and looking forward to the day. And I think my purpose is possibly as a communicator, and I love it now, coming back into publishing after so long that there are all these different opportunities. I mean, here, recording a podcast. In the old days, if you wanted to be able to talk to people, you know, you had to be on the wireless and you had to go and have a radio programme and be at the mercy of commissioning editors and
so
schedules.
Much
you know,
yeah.
And now we can just do it, can't we?
And share that.
Share it and talk really about good information, good solid information that people can trust. You know,
yes.
I really want to be that trusted voice.
Totally.
So I research everything, you know, probably over research it to make sure that it's true and valuable. And I think I would just love my, you know, my own well-being brand, you know, Lizelle Wellbeing, to grow.
Yes.
And to have, you know, more listeners, readers, viewers, whatever, and to go global and to be part of this conversation, because it's such an exciting time with everybody being into wellness and well-being. But it's a very easy bandwagon to jump onto, and I think the benefit that I have perhaps is, you know, 35 plus years of doing it and talking, you know, like you being an old hand and that trusted voice.
Yeah.
Is
and,
just so exciting, such a privilege.
Wonderful, and it's that combination that of being questioning and being curious. You have to sort of have both.
Yeah,
hand
and be
hand.
Prepared to be open-minded. You know, when something gets disproven, I think it's really important to go back and say, actually, I'm going to look at that again. You know, it hasn't happened often, I must say. You know, usually the hunch and the instinct is right. The gut instinct will out in the end.
And that's what we've got to just slow down and tune in so you can actually hear that instinct.
Yeah, and just be aware of all the chatter and, you know, don't believe everything that's written online. Don't believe every Daily Mail headline. People talk about risks.
You've got to go
and
do
at the studies.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such brilliant advice because it's so easy to get caught up in that.
Yeah.
And the only other thing I wanted to ask you, because it is important and it's, I suppose, what so many people know you for, but in terms of beauty, my last question is, should we be looking at our beauty products like we do our food? Should we be label checking ingredients? And
gosh,
it's because that's the
only
next
up
fear,
to a point,
isn't it? The
you know,
organic beauty, natural beauty. Where are
yeah,
you
but
with
again,
that?
That's built on fear. There is no scientific evidence that what we put on the skin is absorbed.
But what about things like HRT and
well, the reason that transdermal
tablet,
patches,
smoke, yes,
okay,
yeah.
So nicotine patches and HRT patches work for two reasons. One is they are combined with a substance that aids absorption. It's usually something like nitroglycerin, which is a very rare thing to put on the skin. So you're certainly not going to find it in skincare or toiletry products. And that can enable a small amount of product to go through. But what they do is they overload it. So if you have, you know, a 1 microgram patch, you've probably got to have about 50 or 60 micrograms of actives in there to get that 1 microgram through, even with the nitroglycerin, because it's so difficult to push it through. And the third point really is the reason you can get that tiny amount through is because it's occluded. So you have to wear it covered with a patch 24/7. You know, it's not enough just to rub it on or just
to
wipe it on, just to get that amount in. You have to really, you know, push it in through the skin. So it's a formulation that's not really readily available in skincare.
So people should just maybe relax a bit about the nasties that they're dubbed as in.
Well, I mean, I've also
products.
Written a lot about parabens, for example. In fact, I've got a big feature on that coming up soon, because that's also
is that
a total
in
myth.
Your mag, so we can read about
yeah,
that there.
Yeah,
great.
It's a complete myth that it's linked to breast cancer, and I kind of go forensically to explain why that became such a demonised word. You know, we eat parabens, they're in apples, they're the reason that apples stay fresh longer than strawberries, is because they're full of parabens. So, and it's exactly the same why they use a very safe non-irritant preservative, but it was a very poor misinterpreted study, again blown up in the headlines. I'm afraid got to come back to good old tabloids taking the rap here.
Yes.
That then, you know, and unfortunately scary headlines and fear sell newspapers and they make for clickbait on the internet. You know, you don't want to click on a study that says, oh, aren't all these lovely things really safe and nice for us? You're
not
going to click on that.
And not too expensive.
No.
And actually no one's going to make huge amounts of money out of them. I know. It's so interesting, and that reassures me, because I can tip over into the slightly paranoid product person.
Don't
so
be
I,
paranoid.
And
be careful
I,
of what
and
you
I trust
eat.
What you
but
say.
But, you know,
so
we have very
relaxed.
Good systems of toxicology within the body, you know, that our liver and our kidneys do fantastic jobs. Even with what we eat, and our skin does an amazing job when you think it was designed to keep out the most microscopic bacteria to ensure our survival. And you know, a great fat molecule of skincare product is definitely not going to slip through it.
Well, thank you for reassuring me on that too, and thank you so much for
putting on paper pants and paper bra, getting naked with me in the Rizal at the Lanesborough Members Club and Spa here in London. It's been fantastic and really good fun, and I'm glad you didn't really quite know what it was all about until you got here, because you wouldn't be here if you wouldn't have said yes. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and listening to the Bathe podcast. Don't miss the next episode. I'm going to be joined by healthy chef Melissa Hemsley, and we're going to be at the Mandarin Oriental, Hyde Park, London, having a water Rizal treatment.
I've always struggled with calling myself a chef, and I think it could be imposter syndrome, but you know, growing up, I thought being a chef was shouty Gordon Ramsay or like uber perfectionist, really serious Gary Rhodes. We started off, Jazz and I, and you know, we weren't even called Hemsley and Hemsley then, which was a name that we struggled to come up with. It honestly took us about a year to come up with our surnames and putting them together. But our clients used to call us their food fairies. I must be discreet. But the important thing is these were all...
I heard Madonna, is that a myth?
You heard Madonna? Mm. Are you lying?
No.
Are you just trying to slip that in?
No.
No. Never cooked for Madonna. Okay. Madonna. I'm so tired.
You see, this never is the only podcast you're allowed to just slur.
Did you genuinely hear Madonna?
I did. And of course, you can always jump onto the website, lovetobathe.co.uk, where you'll find lots of other tips and tricks and other bathing recipes and therapies.